What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We're on the air.
Back.
Well, party's starting early today, isn't it?
To more of Early Break with Sip and Jay, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Husker Hoops plays tonight against Tennessee State, 8 p.m. tip at PBA. We'll get to that in just a second with Husker Online's Robin Washick. Good morning, Robin. Before that, I want to get to the game on Saturday. You were in Madison. You were at Camp Randall. I was there also. So was Sip. I'm curious. We're curious about your thoughts on the general atmosphere of that game at Madison on Saturday.
It wasn't your typical Nebraska-Wisconsin game. In fact, there was a couple points where Sean Callahan and I were walking to the game and we're like, man, this place is dead.
Yeah, I agree.
But you gotta compare that to like previous games. Like, I mean, like the 2011 game was like one of the most insane environments you'll ever see. And so, by contrast, it was a big step down. I think a lot of it, there were reasons. I think that was apparently just the buzz around there as Wisconsin fans were just kind of not really jacked up for that game because they assumed they were going to win. It was the first day of rifle deer season, and I think a lot of people just kind of figured that they took it for granted that Wisconsin was going to win the game. So, I guess it kind of is more a reflection of the shine of the Nebraska-Wisconsin matchup is kind of worn off a little bit, at least up on their end.
Robin Washit joins us from HuskerOnline.com. Let's stick with football for a second, Rob. What was your reaction when it became pretty apparent that Nebraska was going to stay aggressive against Wisconsin with its offensive attack?
I mean, I guess the play calling was good in the sense that, I mean, they were attacking, but what was surprising was their ability to do it. And what I mean is their pass protection. Wisconsin was trying to do the same thing that everybody else against Nebraska had done and just rush four and drop back, the rest of the defense into coverage. And the offensive line actually held up. And as a result, those long, timing routes that, the Smart Torrey eventually hit were able to play out. And so they were able to attack because the offensive line actually held up. And so I think the game plan was good, but I guess the surprising part of it was that they were actually able to execute it by one of their better pass protection days of the game, or of the season, I should say.
So no Adrian on Friday against Iowa, Robin. It was successful in the downfield passing attack with him on Saturday. What do you see with Smothers on Friday? Is there any chance they take shots downfield? Is it still going to be more of a game manager type for him on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be aggressive to some extent, but you also can't throw your, second-year freshman quarterback in his first start against one of the better defenses in the Big Ten just to go out there and throw the ball, 35 times. I don't think that's a recipe for success. So they got to be aggressive, but they have to do it in different ways,
right,
probably. And so I think you can see him being far more involved in the running game. I think that has to be an element of Nebraska's offense, especially given their current running back situation. For them to run the ball on the ground, I think the quarterback is going to have to be heavily involved. But they also got to let him kind of let it loose a little bit, because Iowa knows the situation, and they're going to sell out against a run and make this young quarterback that's thrown the ball 11 times all season have to go out there and beat him with his arm. So that's where the aggression has to come in, to where, you know, you might want to be conservative with your quarterback situation, but I don't think that you're going to have that luxury if you're truly trying to win the game.
Robin Washit joins us. Robin covers Nebraska basketball. Nebraska basketball coming off victories against Idaho State and Southern. Tonight plays Tennessee State at 8 p.m. Is there anything to be gained from this stretch of games, which will, I guess, the stretch of November games, which will conclude, is it with South Dakota State on Saturday?
South Dakota
on Saturday. What's to be gained by this?
Well, I mean, as far as what it means for this season, yes. I don't know. I mean, not much. I mean, these games were put on the schedule for a reason, and it was to stockpile wins and you know, get yourself as good of a record going into conference play as possible. But, you know, one thing you got to keep in mind here is it's been a long time since Nebraska basketball has strung together wins. If they win tonight, it'll be the longest winning streak of Fred Hoiberg's career here at Nebraska. Oh. With three games.
Nice.
And so itself is, you know, something. I mean, yeah. Just to have a string of positive momentum,
yep.
Is something this program hasn't had in a long time. And when you win, and you win back-to-back-to-back-to-back, that all of a sudden you start getting a little swagger to you and some confidence. And that cloud of doubt starts to get out from over your head a little bit. So that's where I think is the most value. Obviously, there's stuff X's and O's wise that you know, just with their ball movement continuing to improve and being able to rebound a little bit better and find various ways to score as opposed to just being 100% reliant on your 3-point shot. I think there's stuff like that you know, you can iron out some kinks in a game like this. But for me, I think the biggest value of all is just having you know, a string of wins here, a legitimate winning streak for the first time under this coaching staff that you can actually build some confidence momentum on.
The last two games, Rob, we've seen Derek Walker go for 14 and 15 points against Idaho State and Southern. I didn't see much of him the first few games against Western Illinois, Sam Houston, and Creighton. A two-part question, where was he at in those games? And number two, can he sustain what he was doing the last two games?
Yeah, I mean, at least tonight, he certainly can.
Sure.
The reason he's been able to dominate is because the opposing teams haven't had much in the way of low post depth or size.
Right.
So I think that was one of the things that after the game the other night against Southern, Lonzo Verge said, he was like, you know, we know we got to get Derek involved because there's a mismatch down there. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's really strong and he's smart with how to maneuver around in the post. And so more often than not, especially against this level of competition, it's going to be a mismatch. And when shots aren't falling the way that they were, you know, in that Southern game, they got to find different ways to score. And that's why the points in the paint were so critical. And a lot of that had to do with Derek Walker being able to get the ball in the paint and make plays happen. So I think it certainly can continue tonight. Maybe South Dakota is going to be a little bit different of a test, but you know, certainly that's got to be an element for this offense to where they can't just be so guard dominant. They have to get point production out of their front court, and Derek Walker's emergence over the last few games, and especially his efficiency with the way that he's been able to shoot at such a high clip from the field, that's a really important addition to make this offense balanced.
Robin Washit joins us, beat writer for Husker men's basketball for HuskerOnline.com. Rob, is the key to this whole thing working this year for Nebraska, is the number one critical element Alonzo Verge coming around as a point guard?
Yeah, I put it right up there towards the top.
Okay.
You know, I think 3-point shooting, I think, is really going to be up there too. Have to be drastically improved with that for them to, especially when the competition increases. But there's a direct correlation between getting the right 3-point shots and Alonzo Verge. And
right.
I think everybody knows it. Alonzo knows it. Fred knows it. The rest of the team knows it, that when he is good, Nebraska is good. And when he is sharing the ball, the offense works. And conversely, when he struggles and he gets frustrated and he starts becoming a ball dominant, one-on-one type guy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This offense gets stagnant and they look really bad. And so that, I mean, it's been blatant already this season how critical he is and his decision-making is for Nebraska's success. And I guess the good news is that over the last couple games, I think that light bulb started to go on for him a little bit. Especially at the Southern game, I think he shot the ball just five or six times after, shooting at 15 a couple games before. So his shot selection has gotten a lot better. And, really in that Southern game, if Nebraska had actually made a couple three-pointers, his assist total, he tied for the team lead in assists, would have been even higher, probably would have doubled it, just with his ability to kick the ball out to shooters on the perimeter for open shots. So, I think that's – if you want to point to one thing as the easy answer for will Nebraska be good or not, I would put it on Alfonso Verge's shoulders and him making the right decisions with the basketball.
Great stuff.
In terms of Trey McGowan, he's obviously out for a while. Keon Edwards has taken a spot in the lineup. Didn't do much the first couple of games, but is there somebody else in the team that's going to fill that role for Trey, Robin, or is it still going to be Keon and kind of just a collaborative effort?
Yeah, I mean, Keon's going to start, but that really hasn't meant much because he's probably played the fewest amount of minutes of any of the primary rotation guys. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't put too much into the starting lineup just because of that. I think they want him out there to start because they like his perimeter defense and his length. Even though it's not necessarily showing up much at all in the box score, Fred kind of doubled down on it on Sunday night and said that they're going to probably stick with him there. But I do think you're going to still see a lot of those, bench guys play a lot. Kobe Webster's going to play a lot. Tominaga's going to play a lot. And so I think the backcourt is going to kind of be a collaborative effort, like you said. But as far as now, I think Keon continues to get the starting nod.
Robin, always great stuff. Thanks for the time. We will chat with you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. See you.
It's the Husker Online's Robin Washington tonight. Nebraska, Tennessee State. 8 p.m. at PBA. You can watch that on BTN.
All right. I might do that.
You can either go or you can be like me and Sip and watch it on TV.
Yeah, if I'm done with my football stuff, I'll watch it. That's how it works with me. So I'm going to have to get done.
Okay.
Try.
Well, hopefully you do.
Football's the priority right now.
I understand that.
Until football season ends, it's the priority. Good job by Rob, by the way.
You said he had a very busy weekend.
Well,
he was at the game on Saturday, the football game.
Yeah, Rob.
He was back for the Sunday's basketball game.
Yeah, he was back by the 2 p.m. tip-off. I think he made it there on time. Whatever it was. 3 p.m.?
Yeah, it was 3 p.m.
By the 3 p.m. tip-off. I think he made it on time. He's covering football and basketball right now, and he's covering it all. Those guys like Chris Baznett, that when it becomes a football-basketball double, oh, boy.
Busy.
Yeah, they're busy. I mean, real busy.
Let's play the game show. Give us a call right now at 464-5685. A chance to win a business box of bagels to Bagels and Joe. Sip is already 1-0 on the week. No Bagel Boy shirt for you this week.
It ain't happening. It ain't happening.
Today, colleges of basketball Hall of Famers. What schools these guys go to? Well-known names in basketball. What schools did they attend? 464-5685. Shut up, Sip. We'll start right now.
We've all been there. You're listening to the radio, and then that rage starts to grow inside of you. It starts to consume you. It gets to a point where you just want to yell, "Shut up, Sipple!"
No, sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, here's your chance. It's time to shut up, Sipple. Call now to play 464-5685. Shut up, Sipple. Brought to you by Bagels and Joe.
All right, 464-5685, call the takedown Sip in trivia. How do you feel about colleges of basketball Hall of Famers, Sip?
Real good. Real good. I mean, right. Not even sort of good. Just real good.
Mike, how do you feel about colleges of basketball Hall of Famers?
Probably about the exact opposite of Sip.
Okay.
Hey, Mike,
start.
Thanks for calling, though. We appreciate it.
All right, Mike, sure. First question goes to you. What school did forward Alex English go to?
Villanova.
Villanova. Confident guess, not correct.
Oh, we know this because Greg gave us the rundown, gave me. I don't know if he did it on the air or not, but he gave us the rundown of all the great players from the state of South Carolina.
South Carolina is correct, yeah. For Alex English. 1-0 lead, Sip. This is for a 2-0 lead. Your first question. What school did Dominique Wilkins go to?
The great Dominique Wilkins. Oh, God. I have a pretty good guess here. I think you could overthink this one. He played for the Atlanta Hawks at a very high level for the great Hubie Brown during the era where they had Eddie Johnson.
Here comes all the descriptions here.
And Roundtree. They had a center named Roundtree. They had a little point guard named Charlie Chris. That's when Dominique played, and he came right over from the University of Georgia.
Wow. How about that little description and the correct answer?
That's showing off. Right?
That was showing off.
That's high step and then spinning the ball. Spinning the ball in the end zone. And then talking a little bit, too.
Take the Sharpie out of his socks, too, and signs the football. All right.
Take that point away for taunting.
Yeah, it could be taunting.
No. Don't throw the play.
NFL refs getting involved here. All right, Mike, to stay alive, your last question. What school did John Stockton go to?
I got a great quote for this one.
I'm just going to... UCLA.
That is a 2-0 start to the week.
He played at Utah. He went to Gonzaga.
Yes.
And Frank Layden had a great quote one time. Frank Layden was the Utah NBA coach. And he said, when they initially started looking at him, he said, "I didn't know if Stockton was from Gonzaga or Gonzaga was from Stockton."
All right.
How about that?
That is pretty good. Mike, thanks for calling. We'll get you a bag on the coffee and calling down the road.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Sounded depressed.
No, he's fine. He's all right. He knew it was going to be tough.
You want your last one since you're on a roll there? You got Gonzaga, whatever you want to say there. Okay, what school did Gary Payton go to?
Oh, God.
The Glove?
Oh, Gary Payton. Gary Payton did go to school. Okay.
He sure did.
I might have guessed he didn't go to school.
I believe he was the second or third overall pick out of this school. Don't know what year, but...
Oh, I think he was sort of like... Dominique. He stayed close to home. He was Oregon State
Look
guy.
Look at this guy go. Oregon State. His son played at Oregon State as well recently.
Glove, yeah.
And I guess if you want to go 4-for-5-for-5, you got 4-for-4. Can you get this on the dot? Tiebreaker.
All right.
How many NBA seasons did John Stockton play?
A lot. I'll say...
Come on the dot. On the dot.
19.
19 on the dot. Give the horns for that, too.
Incredible.
Look at this man go.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I gave you double horns. Let's air those suckers out.
That was incredible.
Look at that. Yeah. What's going on right now?
Well, you know I know hoops probably that was better amazing. Than anything.
I mean, you got the tiebreaker on the dot.
Yeah, and you're going to give me a bunch of guys that I followed when I was like Harrison's age. You know.
This might be the most impressed I've ever been for your game show performance.
I'll take that compliment.
Because you got all four questions right and the tiebreaker on the dot.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's a good start to your
Tuesday. I should retire right now, but I'm not going to because Trixie won't let me.
Yeah, you can't go out on top like that. You just got to keep working. The spillover with Happer and Schaefer is next on Early Break in the Ticket.